CliffCentral.com.
Oh, look what the cat's dragged in.
Guess who's back?
Back again. Never mind.
Welcome back, Sia.
That lasted for all of 1.7 seconds of being cool, and then it just didn't work out anymore. Good
cool,
morning,
dude.
Folks. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How
what
are
time,
you?
What time's your body in? Midnight.
Leanne, one problem at a time, okay? One problem at a time. Good morning. It's the 21st of October, 2019. It's just a little after 6 a.m. This is the Gareth Cliff Show without Gareth Cliff, but I'm back. I'm Sia Sangwen in this. Kuku Masuku here as well.
Hello, Sia.
How are you? And there's Leanne Mole.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Leanne.
So Gareth will be back tomorrow, right?
Will be back, yes, tomorrow. He's actually still mid-air. He's landing like two hours time. And I think he'll need the day to fully recover. But he'll be back in studio for the show tomorrow morning. As much as it feels very long, but also at the same time feels very short.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys.
You didn't want to come back, did you? Tell the truth now.
Do you know the weird thing is, we, even beyond just working together, even being on the show, there's a certain camaraderie. I look at the show and the listeners as an extension of another person in my life. So sometimes when things happen, it's like, oh, I can't wait to tell my sister this. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to tell so-and-so this. Same way, I feel like I can't wait to share this on air.
Yeah.
So there've been so many things that have happened in the past couple of days where I'm like, oh my goodness.
You got news for days.
I can't wait to talk about this on the show. And so that's been the feeling. Look, you can stay away. And even though we were working, it was a bit of a holiday. You can stay on holiday for the longs of time, but it's still not the same. You want to be productive. You want to, you know, do the work that excites you. You want to be out and about. And so it's not the same if I were to, you know.
It's not the same without us. No.
Well,
it's okay.
I think he just means the Cliff Central platform, not really us.
It's okay, Sia.
He would be fine without us.
I didn't say that either, Leanne.
He just needs a microphone and doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. Anything else doesn't matter.
He'll rock any mic.
Do I have to say anything at this point? Because you guys are putting words
say
into
no
my
more,
mouth.
Say no more,
Sia. Okay,
say
sure.
No more. How was it though, dude? I mean, first trip to the States.
Look, we have, I'll really want to get into it properly in the second hour because I can get very detailed.
Yeah, you get carried away. We know you, it's okay.
Two minute story turns into 2 hours.
Right?
Do you want to know or do you not want to know?
We'll give you time.
Exactly. But anyway, I just feel like I came back to being in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
In terms of?
This heat wave in Johannesburg.
Dude.
Is this heat wave around the country as well?
I don't know about the country, but Joburg this past weekend has been insanely hot.
Yikes. Yeah.
Hey?
I didn't understand what was going on there. I did hear, speaking of which, let's get the air on here.
Well, welcome home, Sia.
Yeah. And then speaking
it is
of,
on.
Oh, is it on?
That's how hot it is.
Dude.
The aircon's fully on.
No,
that's
joking.
Normally the temperature, Sia, 22 degrees no, as you
we,
see it.
Can we drop it down? Sorry for bringing you in as a listener to these house rules, but sorry. I am schwitzing right now. Okay, I need to take it down just a notch. Otherwise, I feel like I can't breathe. And then I heard load shedding is a thing now.
Yeah. Back to square
back
one.
You know, and so apparently the problem now is that people are losing cell phone signal when there's load shedding.
No.
And internet. And I couldn't understand why. So,
have you been losing cell phone signal?
Absolutely. Like, I've got very little. Like, I can't send a picture on WhatsApp. It just won't.
That's crazy. How does that even work? What's the problem?
So, apparently the towers are operated by battery.
Mm-hmm.
And those batteries have been stolen.
Oh, no.
And those batteries are being sent to Zimbabwe, where you only get 8 hours of electricity a day.
So they're being stolen here and taken to Zim because they don't have electricity. So they're using those to
power
run
up their
things.
Day a bit more. Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
That's what I've heard. I haven't read it.
What the Armageddon is going on?
I know.
Oh, man.
At least there wasn't load shedding during the rugby yesterday.
Yeah.
Managed to hold on to that because I think people would have been fuming.
Yeah. That probably would have been a little crazy for in terms of reactions. Is there at least like a schedule, this load shedding schedule? Are they sticking to it?
There is a schedule, but the thing is, they jump you with it.
What is it, last minute or what?
Very last minute, yeah. It's how like, so? Stage two started
in
now.
In 5 minutes.
Okay. Quickly check the schedule. Oh, I'm going off in 10 minutes.
Yikes. Because one of the first things I did as soon as I landed on Saturday evening and I got home was I was plugging everything. I was
charging everything.
I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what the schedule was. I hadn't looked or researched. So I just charged to be on the safer side of life.
Mm. Look, I don't mind it that much. I'm prepaid electricity and it saves me a bit of money.
Oh.
Right. Well, look, for me, as long as it's 2 hours, it's okay. Yeah, I don't really feel it.
There have been some longer sessions for some people.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's
like from
horrible.
8:30 until 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, well, shucks. I mean, that's okay. You're sleeping at that time, right?
You are, but your frozen foods are not in the best position.
And your phone's not charging.
Mm.
Yeah.
See, I'm still inclined to say I'd rather have no water than have no electricity.
No, you'd rather have no electricity.
The problem is all the problem is pooping.
Mm-mm.
Pooping.
Oh no.
Dude,
no.
Everything. Pooping, washing dishes, like everything stops when there's no water.
I can stockpile water and I swear, I think in my past life I was in the army or something. That's why I hate violence now. And
yeah, this is all very logical.
Yes. And also I can use water sparingly.
How you can't flush, take a dump sparingly. That you can't get away with.
Well, I just have a great holding it in system.
He's the guy who goes to the mall, Leanne. Gets in his car and drives all the way to the mall. He's that guy.
Yep,
instead of pooping in the office.
Yeah, or in the office.
No. Absolutely not. I'd never take a bowel movement here at the office. Never take a bowel movement.
You'd rather have an accident in the car trying to get to the mall.
Absolutely.
Wow. So
imagine you walking into the boys, the gents, and then like you see my feet.
Yeah, it's a problem. The cubicles aren't very private.
And I still don't understand why doors at cubicles have to have,
the foot vibe.
Right? Yeah. So now you hear things and then you smell things and then you see my feet. You're like, oh, shit, never
you
mind.
You can even hear each other breathing in these loos.
Right? You got to be gangster about it though, Sia. Like just walk in there with confidence, do your thing. If someone comes in and you recognize him, say what's up. Like just own it.
What?
You got to own it. Even in a relationship. I think we spoke about this on the one show.
Yeah.
You escape and you say, let's leave. And then you come back and say, I've forgotten something.
No, you just don't do that.
Mm-mm. You own this thing.
Mm-mm. How did we get onto this topic? Right.
I don't
know. No water.
Yeah, I really do prefer no water. I think we're too dependent on
electricity. I suppose
if
you do stockpile on water, then you can always have water when there's not. With electricity, I suppose it's the same with electricity. If you have a generator or a power pack or whatever, you can get by. But when it comes to cell phone signal and Wi-Fi, then there's nothing we can do.
You just feel so out of the loop when there's no electricity. In my case, at least, I think so. Because now also just have anxiety of, my phone is now living on a charger, waiting for a moment of like, okay, when will it happen? When will it happen? I don't know. So all of that is just...
You do use the Eskom Supush app, don't you?
No, I don't even.
Your life would be a lot easier.
Well, because I just remember the last time we had load shedding, even that app couldn't follow with the ever-changing schedule.
Mm, it is a bit quick, but...
Couldn't keep up.
Mm.
Well, to let you know, no load shedding is expected today. And the probability of load shedding is low for the week.
Good. We're so grateful, Eskom.
Okay.
So there is pressure on the stations still, but let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
actually, now that I think about it, what I heard was something to do with maintenance and
certain
parts that needed to be removed.
Definitely. And then there was the coal was not able to be delivered to Medupi, I think.
So it's like 10 different stories, essentially, from Eskom.
I think all of them are true and they're all happening at the same time.
Sure. Welcome to SA, kids.
Well, yeah. Welcome to Zim. 8 hours a day of electricity is all you get.
Oi, okay, let's pump this energy up for Monday. Yeah. How were your weekends, Leanne? How was yours? What did you get up to?
Well, I didn't have to watch the rugby because if you just stood in the garden, you could hear people going nuts every time there was something in our favor.
I feel like there was also some sort of a soccer game yesterday.
Look, I don't watch the CS Sanguinis of this world, so I really wouldn't know. CS Sanguinis is a soccer player, by the way.
Oh, like I'm about to say, where's that going? No, I feel like there was a soccer match as well, because between the cheers from rugby and between the cheers of soccer, my whole complex was abuzz. And I was like, guys, I just want to sleep. Is that asking for too much? So I'm taking it, Leon, you also don't have the chias and you don't know what happened in Japan. And
I was in my car at the time, so I was trying to find a radio station that
I was forced to watch it.
Had it live, and eventually I landed on Mhlobo Wenene.
And you're like, spot on.
Yeah. And when it finished, you know, the commentary came on, and it obviously wasn't in English. And it was quite funny because I drove past two sets of people, one being my security guards, and the other were just some people hanging around. And they did a double take, hey, because they could hear my radio. Yeah. They were like, what is this chick? The one guy's head almost snapped off his neck.
Wait, Leanne, you couldn't. The commentary, though, is in Isixhosa.
Yes.
So what were you picking up?
I was still
waiting for the celebrations, right?
I could still hear it and pick up the vibe.
Right.
Huh. But yeah, the security guards now think that I know what's going on in the world.
That is actually a good
thing.
It's a good idea for them to have. So let's keep with that then. Yeah, just go with that. Anything else happened over your weekend?
Obviously nothing major. Oh, I had a very nice day on Friday at the Johannesburg Country Club, the one in Auckland Park.
Isn't that the name of it?
Well, they're two Johannesburg country clubs. They're both connected, but the one's in Auckland Park, the other one's in Woodmead.
Wait, connected, not physically, right?
No, obviously not.
No, really, I didn't
want to
assume.
Maybe by the cow train, I don't know. If you have membership at one, you have membership at the other.
There we go, okay. Because I do know that, like, I thought the Johannesburg Country Club is like,
Woodmead.
So I was right. Okay, so there are two. Never mind. As you were, yes, please continue.
No, and they always have something going on. They've just built a beautiful terrace. And I sat there the whole day and we either worked or had wine or had lunch.
How did you land up there?
A friend of mine is a member, darling.
Ooh. Oh, look at you, fancy.
Yes.
Clutch your pearls.
And they had live music, a guy with a guitar and a violin and a flute.
Oh,
and
was he playing a theme tune?
He was singing the theme
okay,
tune.
Okay, flutes.
And yeah, that was very good. Had delicious food.
Do you know what I love? He started off saying, it's either we were working or we were having wine.
Or the same time.
Okay, that's what I was waiting for. Gugu, you were saying, how was your weekend?
It was cool, man. I actually didn't get to do much of my own stuff. Saturday, I got roped into a family braai, which I knew nothing about.
Oh.
So that took up the whole of Saturday. And
what obviously, do you mean you got roped into it?
Weren't you informed?
Yeah, I wasn't informed. I'm sleeping Saturday morning, like 8 o'clock. Next thing, the phone is ringing. It's like, hello. It's like, dude, you still sleeping? I'm like, yes, I am.
Wow, your accent.
Yeah, when you wake up.
That's my morning accent. So
right.
When no one's listening, right?
Hello. Hello. It's Gugu. And by lunchtime, he's like, how's it up?
Something happens when he wakes up and brushes his teeth.
Who is calling? What is the time?
Yeah. So anyway, My uncle says to me, dude, I need us to go to Pretoria, to your aunt's place. I need you to drive with me. There's like a braai. Oh. So I'm riding a bike at the moment. He's like, be here by 9:30.
He calls you at 8:00. Oh, no. At his place at 9:30.
Dude. So I get up, try to hurry it up, on a Saturday get over morning. There. And then long story short, I end up being like the whole family, like him, his wife, he goes and picks up his twin. We all end up going there and
hopefully he picks up both of them.
What do you mean?
Or just the one twin.
He is the twin.
He is
the one twin.
Oh, damn.
And then, yeah, okay. Like I end up being the designated driver, and because they're like my uncles and families and my aunts, you can't drink, you're the designated driver. So it was like,
oh.
Yeah, it was one of those vibes.
That's not fun for you.
I know, right? Being the youngest, that's what it comes with. You're the designated driver. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Type of vibe.
And the problem is you'll always be the youngest.
You'll always be the youngest, and you can't really say no, unfortunately.
You'll be 40 and still the youngest.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't fun, though, to be around family and to spend time with your...
Not if you can't drink spirits, yeah.
Well, you know what? I stole one or two on the side, you know, thug life.
Rebel. Absolute right. Rebel.
Yeah, so that was Saturday. Sunday, also I didn't get to do anything that I wanted to do. Same dude calls me, he's like, hey, we need to go help.
You mean your uncle?
Yeah,
don't
well,
make
him
sound like a guy who you
just some guy
in the corner.
Yeah. He's like, hey, we need to go help your other uncle move. So he's got a bucky. Same story again. He says, you're driving.
And did they help you when you moved?
His twin helped me.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Fortunately.
At least they're two of them. They can split the duty.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up on Sunday driving around actually in that damn heat that we all know about.
Yeah.
And carrying heavy shit. And anyway, that was my weekend. Mm. Sad.
You see, this is why a couple of weeks ago I was bringing up the roles in which we all have in our families.
Uh-huh.
Like I know, you know, with one sister in particular, she's always like the nurturer. That's her. That's the one you call for advice. That's the one you call at like 3 a.m. and go, I'm stuck. I need help. My family knows I'm not the one to call for help and things like that. You do not call on me to be like, hey, I need you to please help me pack things up and remove. No, you
like,
don't do
okay.
That.
Okay.
No,
up.
You don't do that to me. So clearly you're that person in your family.
Not just in the family, in life. Even here, I mean, you know, you call on me last minute and she's like, it's like 8 p.m. I'm in the gym. It's like, dude, please for tomorrow's show, please call A,
well,
B, and C.
Well, I mean, hello, there was just a casual 6-hour difference.
And
anyway.
At 8 p.m., I get on the phone while in the gym and start calling people to try to get them on the phone. That's just my nature. That's how I am, helpful.
Mm.
Oh,
we rotate our duties in the family between the cousins.
What role do you play?
We all play the same role.
Which is?
But we split it up. We've got quite a few people in our family who are reliant on others.
Mm-hmm.
Some who can't drive.
Oh, no.
Some who aren't at full mental capacity.
Yeah.
Some who are old. Some who are disabled. So we just all rotate. It'll be this week someone takes this one to the doctor.
Okay.
This one goes and takes the other one shopping. This one does some online shopping. Someone will look after the money going in and out.
It's like a community vibe.
Yeah.
I know in our family, I'm the mediator,
mm-hmm.
and also I'm the cheerleader. So my mom will, for example, call me to say, I haven't seen all of you guys under, you know, one roof in a while. Can you get your sisters to all come home like at X time? I'm like, okay, sure. Then I band everyone together. I'm like, guys, you know, let's do it. Let's be nice enough with our parents. Or if there's some family function that we all need to attend and you know, my sisters might not be in it, I have to, you know.
He's the organizer.
No.
Say no more. I got you guys.
All I have to do is build the spirit up. I'm just the cheerleader. And then if there are fights or any issues, I'm the one in the middle to mediate with everything. So yeah, I guess we all have our own little weird roles.
Little weird roles.
Yeah. Mm. So 079-748-2090. If you want to let us know how your weekend was, you can message us as well. Or you can go into social media and whatnot. We want to catch up. Leo has let us know how his weekend is. Your askis, Leo. But this is what he says. Says, good morning. What happened to me this weekend? Okay. Friendship of 30 years unfortunately ended because my former friend got riled up and personally offended because I've sent him a naked tits and silly meme joke after he sent me a scripture from the Bible.
Oh, I think we did this one on Friday with Ben or something. I think, yeah, that's Friday or Thursday's one.
Oh, so why is he sending it? Leo, okay, yes. He sent it on Thursday.
We did it on Thursday.
That's weird. What
spoke about it on Thursday.
Clearly, Leo's not listening live if he's continued to...
Oh, he sent it again?
Yeah, and then he says, but he started it, sharing his Hustlers and Lost Life magazines with me back in the 90s. What's Lost Life?
The sex mag, adult mag.
Was it South African?
Yeah, Lost Life.
Imagine the Afrikaner slickies like in there, boy.
Your loose body, eh?
I remember back in the day in primary school, guys.
I've never heard of that.
Like, obviously, this was before the internet. This was before cell phones and stuff. And there was this guy I went to school with. His uncle obviously stockpiled all these magazines, right? Mm-hmm. And he would tear out pages for us. Tear out pages, stick them in a sock, and bring them to school.
Stop.
And we would lose our minds seeing this stuff.
Wait, but Gogo, you are... No, you went to school like early 2000s.
Yeah, early 2000s.
And that was still a thing?
Yeah. Like, bring a page like a day or something like that.
It was founded in 1995. It's the Afrikaans language pornographic magazine, but you obviously weren't looking at the words, Gugu.
So
reading the articles.
Lost Life. Oh, it's a subsidiary of the American Hustler. Okay, yeah. Mm. That makes sense then. So
there are no pictures on this that I'm reading either.
Okay.
So you can stop peering over at my computer. They are just words.
Okay, it's okay.
I don't know.
It was always white chicks.
Yeah, it was always white chicks. Eh? Always. Mm. Like, it only changed.
And that was very controversial at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it
came across as like Afrikaner nationalists, etc.
Wow.
Interesting times in the
world
of porn.
I'm really surprised to hear this.
When was the first time you saw like a porn vibes, yeah? And how?
I was probably at my cousin's place.
Probably.
So I was... like 9 or 10.
Yes.
And my thought was, just remember seeing boobs and going, yeah, this isn't for me. I don't know what's going on. Because it was just a flap of boobs. And I thought, okay, sorry,
it's
I don't know.
Not doing anything for you.
And I remember just the boys going, oh, this is so awesome. And I'm thinking,
What medium? Phone, TV? Pages.
I'm a 2000s baby, so uh-huh. it was like a DVD that they had. And I thought, yeah, just not for me. That put me off a lot of things, including the female form for a while.
Shame. Sorry, yeah.
Call it a while. But I'm shocked. I actually want to do like more research into Lost Life, of all things. Now,
well, the domain is available if you want it, lawslave.co.za.
Do you think we could like find someone who worked on Lost Life and chat to them on the show? I think they'd be fascinating to chat to.
Very possibly.
Yeah, okay. Let's do more digging. Let's see who we can find and what they were doing. But anyway, I just remember also at a point we had the South African version of Playboy, and this is like 2010 or something. And it just didn't work out well.
You know what I do like is that I'm looking back at old articles.
On Lost Life?
Yeah. In 2005, Karen Eloff was named the new editor of the magazine.
Lost Life was still around in 2005.
And she herself appeared semi-naked on the cover.
Ooh.
Hmm.
My. Oh, big mistake. I just went on to... just went onto Google Images for Lost Life. Never you mind.
All say right, no more, move. Yeah. Say no more.
Let's move on. Let's focus on news. Let's go to the five things that you need to know this
that
morning.
You actually need to know.
Yeah. Hey, look, some lives may have been changed, like mine, after discovering Lost
true.
Life.
This is true.
Did they change?
Things were never the same.
Or did they change for the worse? We don't know. Anyway. All right. Five things that you need to know this morning. Let's get started firstly with something that everyone will have in their conversations today, Eskom. So Eskom says that there's no load shedding for Monday and possibly the rest of the week. Well, despite a constrained and vulnerable power system, no load shedding is expected on Monday, and the probability of further power cuts remains low for the rest of the week. This is what Eskom says. Eskom said in a statement that the system's improvement was largely as a result of several units being returned to service from planned and unplanned maintenance and achieving a healthy water level at its pumped storage schemes to prepare for the week ahead. Eskom continues to replenish diesel reserves for the open cycle gas turbines, which enable us to avoid and or minimize load shedding. Repairs are progressing well on the conveyor belt at Madupi Power Station, which should reach full capacity by the end of the week. This is all part of their statement thus far. They continue to say, we remind customers that despite this progress, the power system is constrained, and while every effort is made to avoid load shedding, it could be implemented at short notice should there be a significant shift in plant performance and increased unplanned technical breakdowns.
Thank you very much. Very informative.
But does that instill faith in you? For me, no.
Well, I think it's great progress.
What I'm gathering from this statement is we're okay, but you never know.
Yeah. And short notice.
Yeah. Really, it's things like, well, planned and unplanned maintenance. You never know. Short notice. There could be a shift. So it really is saying we're okay, but you just never know.
Yeah.
So it's really not inspiring faith for me. Then in the statement, they also continue to say, customers are encouraged to continue to use electricity sparingly. Please switch off geysers as well as non-essential lighting and electricity appliances to assist in reducing demand. As we are experiencing a heat wave in some parts of the country, we ask that you use your air conditioners efficiently at 23 degrees Celsius.
Oh, shit. We're on what? 19?
You put it on.
You better sort that out.
Up it goes, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Let them never say, we have never done anything for this
so
country.
So compliant.
But I think, can we
have, do try.
Oh, can we have some fan? Can we have like, I'm not feeling a breeze. I think that's another problem. I feel like I'm going through menopause right now. Can someone fix this air conditioner? Goodness. On Sunday morning, Eskom cautioned that the power system is constrained, and while we are making every effort to avoid load shedding, it could be implemented at short notice should there be a significant shift in plant performance and increase unplanned technical breakdowns. So here they are just rehashing the same type of statement. It explained that additional generating units are expected to return to service on Sunday and repairs are progressing well on the conveyor belt at Madupi Power Station. Well, okay. Let's see. Eskom said that at the time it would be in a better position to provide a prognosis for Monday and the coming week after reviewing the performance of the electricity system on Sunday evening. They say that we will continue to keep South Africans informed about the status of the electricity system and our recovery efforts.
Very good.
Okay, let's see. Hold your breath just a bit, South Africa. In Cape Town now, taxi drivers blocked major routes, demanding authorities to scrap the fines they were issued or given for breaking the law.
What
happened over the weekend, and specifically on Friday, as chaos erupted in Cape Town. They owe this. These are the taxi drivers. The city of Cape Town more than 30 million rands in fines. The drivers blocked the roads to protest against what they say is unfair treatment by City of Cape Town traffic officials. They're upset about fines and warrants of arrest issued for them. Some people took more than an hour to get home on a trip that would normally take them 15 minutes. taxi driver all the way to Xaba said, why are we breaking the rules? Because we need attention from the provincial government. They do not listen to us, so the best way is to block the roads. But traffic officials went head-to-head with taxi drivers and with the help of the police, impounded scores of taxis that were blocking roads. And the drivers, however, say they're not going to pay their fines because they simply can't afford to on their wages. The City of Cape Town's J.P. Smith says the law applies equally to everyone, and if some are able to abide by it, why can't taxi drivers?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Of course. You do the crime, you pay the price.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, is this...
Dude.
I'm wondering, is this taxi drivers and the associations, for example, way of garnering sympathy in the country?
By force. It's not even sympathy. It's by force.
We can't afford to pay the fines. Well, don't break the rules of the road.
It's a general attitude that taxi drivers have, and they display this attitude openly on the roads. It means I'm first. I'm the only one who counts. Let me in. I need to be in front of you because I'm important. And that's culture and that way of thinking is being carried over into everything else that they do.
Yeah, so to now say you're going to protest and want, what do they want? Do they want all of their fines of like 30 million rands plus just wiped out?
Of course they do.
And then they start again, a new tab. How's that?
Of course
they do. Pretty cool, right?
Hey, okay. I just don't get that. Third story that you need to know this morning. This is quite horrible, but the body of a newborn baby has been found in Langa in Cape Town. The infant's body was discovered under a bridge in an informal area yesterday. Police officials were on scene when forensic pathologists removed the body from the scene. The police's Noloyiso... Rwekana, there we go. said Langa police are investigating following the discovery of a newborn baby, and the circumstances are currently under investigation. Really horrible to speak about. And also, I don't know if you heard of the story already yesterday, but one person has died and two others were injured after two vehicles collided on Summit Road in Midrand yesterday. Paramedics said a man was declared dead on the scene, and Netcare 911's Sean Herp said two others were airlifted to hospital. Two seriously injured patients were treated on the scene by advanced life support paramedics in a...
What's wrong?
Sorry, I have a sneeze coming.
Jeez.
So dramatic. So dramatic. Every time.
Dude.
No, sorry, it was one of the sneezes where I felt like it was coming right this moment and I just couldn't.
You couldn't go on with your life.
Yeah, I really couldn't.
What would have happened if you were driving?
Yeah, exactly.
Or operating heavy machinery.
I'm sorry, I just realized it sounded like an emotional moment.
Yeah, I thought you were about to burst into tears. I mean, you know.
Guys, this is example number 743 why we wouldn't cope well in traditional broadcasting. Imagine if you were on like prime time news at 7 o'clock.
Reading the news on SAFM. Yes.
Then you got to a point where, well, two seriously injured patients were treated.
And that was it.
I promise you, there, no one's going to ask you what's wrong or what's going on.
I'm sorry, I'm really not being insensitive. Okay, let's carry on with the story. In a separate incident in KwaZulu-Natal, two people died after two cars collided, and officials said one other person was hospitalized, and both cases are currently under investigation. Yikes. On the same time, in Mpumalanga, three people died when the buggy they were traveling in overturned near the Sodwala Caves around Mbombela on Saturday night. So, yeah, a lot was going on this weekend. It's very unfortunate that there are all of these horrific stories to tell. And then to end off on a bit of a different note, the fifth thing that you need to know this morning, well, an 8,000-year-old pearl that archaeologists say is the world's oldest will be displayed in Abu Dhabi, according to authorities who said Sunday it is proof that the objects have been traded since Neolithic times. Okay. The natural pearl was found in the floor of a room discovered during excavations at Marawa Island, which is off the capital of the UAE, which revealed the earliest architecture found in the country. So the layers from which the pearl came from have been carbon dated to 5,800 to 5,600 BC. The discovery of the oldest pearl in the world in Abu Dhabi makes it clear that so much of our recent economic and cultural history has deep roots that stretch back to the dawn of prehistory. This is what Abu Dhabi's Department of Culture and Tourism say. So the Abu Dhabi pearl will be shown for the first time in the exhibition 10,000 Years of Luxury, which is opening on October the 30th in Abu Dhabi, which is really going, which is in what? 9 days' time. Wow. I'd love to know actually the value of something like this.
Yeah, of course.
So it's all good and well that they're putting this together and they're chatting about this, but I'd love to know how much it's worth.
Sure.
And how much security is around it. My goodness. Well, yeah, those are the five things that you need to know this morning. I think we touched on a lot of things and some were
some tragic.
Some definitely tragic. Look, I definitely want to chat about the resignation of Herman Mashaba. I think let's get into that in part two of this morning. And we're just about to head into the money shot now. Anthea isn't in with us this morning, but we have Henry Biddlecombe who'll be keeping us updated on the world of finance and the markets, but just going very quickly and very eloquently as well to a message we got this morning, and quite simply says, Eskom can go suck a bag of dicks. I'll use as much electricity as the breakers in my house can handle.
Well,
fuck you,
you're only
Eskom.
Hurting the rest of us by doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, that's just.
That's just what you are reading over there.
That's just right? All I heard this morning. And we also have a voice note. Do you want to listen to that?
Yes.
Let's see.
Just find all of the buttons.
Just press everything this, yeah?
Hey, guys.
There you go.
There we go.
And Siri's asking what you want.
Let's listen to this. Who's this from? From Bihilek. Whose Siri is that?
It's mine. It's so stupid. Can you keep quiet?
Can you calm it down there? Okay, Bihilek sent as a voice note. This is what he or she says.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys. It's Mpichen. Missed you over the weekend. We'll come back, see ya. Like, I just want to know from you guys, I would say, what informs the five things that you need to know that you guys decide upon? Because there are like 20 other things that I think personally would fit into the five things that you need to know. So who makes the decisions of those five things that people need to know? And what informs those five? Because 80% of the time, your five things are not my five things.
Honesty is the best policy, Mpicheng. Yeah. Love you, boy.
Thank you, Mpicheng. You know what?
It's something that I'd like to know too,
yeah,
actually.
Same, actually.
We get the five things that you need to know from our news desk every morning.
Oh.
So this is just the updated list.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. No, we run a very professional operation around these parts. So what can we really say? I'm joking. No, we just decide, you know, as we prepare for the show. But if there's anything that you do want to discuss and be saying, then rather you let us know what's on your mind. And then we can definitely get into that.
Like perhaps that Helen Ziller has just been named the DA's new federal council chairperson.
That I also think is worth discussing. We're going to get Canthan Pillay on the line because I think there's so much that happened over the weekend that is just so fresh and that we need to discuss and that can't wait until Thursday. Because I want to call Canthan a bit of an oracle here, because he called Herman's resignation about like 3 weeks ago on the Burning platform, and lo and behold, look at what has happened. So yeah, I think a lot of the political stories, I want to wait for Canthan, but before we get into that, let's get into the money shot, and we have Henry with us this morning. Good morning, Henry.
Morning, guys.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little worried about all of you.
Uh-oh.
You know, when Gareth lets you run,
we're worried about
all of a sudden
as well.
6:30 in the morning, we're talking about Afrikaner nationalist porn. There are a lot of things I would have called That wasn't one of them.
Henry, are these not things that will change your life?
I think it has.
Yes.
I'm going to go do some reading after this.
Look, I did not know about Lost Leif.
No, me neither.
Now I feel like my life has changed.
Well, now I'm desperate to read more. In fact, it reminded me of my first experience with porn.
I
was about 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
And like you, my friend brought a Scope magazine into the classroom and I wasn't ready for what I saw.
Really?
Oh,
no.
Shame.
No.
You didn't lose your head, Henry?
I did a little bit, not in the right kind of way. So it took me a year or two after that. But then the picture created all sorts of different feelings in me. It's funny how that works.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting times.
It's funny how those feelings have never changed for me. I've always
They just brought the wrong magazine, that's all.
You know, if they had brought like Playgirl.
There you go.
Then we would have been in a different conversation.
Wrong magazine.
Henry, I'm really interested in getting into a different conversation with regards to what is happening out there in the financial world, and particularly around what has now been like this, has been dubbed the streaming wars.
Yep.
What is exactly going on? I feel like every Tom, Dick, and Jabulani is now releasing some on-demand platform. They're realizing this is where the markets are headed. And are they a hit? Are they a miss? What's your take on all of this?
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, if you just confine the argument to South Africans for a second and you have a look at what's happening to DSTV, I mean, how many of you guys have friends who are canceling their DSTV subscription these days? You know, I cancel mine.
I am that friend.
You are that friend?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Mm.
I have as well.
Me too.
You as well, Leanne?
Yeah.
So that's 3 out of 4, and you?
I'm only surviving because I'm on a shared account with, you know, I think 4 other people. And it's, you know...
So you're stealing DSTV.
There we go.
Okay,
so
all right.
I watch it on my laptop, the other one watches it on the iPad, and I feel like this is also a downfall of some of these on-demand and streaming platforms.
Well, they have to allow that, right, to remain competitive. But I'm going to count you as a non-DSTV subscriber in this equation.
No.
Right, so that's 4 out of 4 this morning out of a random sample of people who've all cancelled their subscriptions. So that doesn't bode well for these traditional sort of cable TV network businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a symptom of the changing way that consumers are consuming and viewing content. But of course, this isn't a new story. I mean, we've known about this for a while. And of course, there's that iconic sort of saying, you know, Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but why should a cable TV channel be able to decide what we watch and when we watch it, when we can simply choose that for ourselves while at the same time skipping adverts? So it's that whole concept's kind of revolutionized the industry, but it's becoming more interesting. And the reason why I wanted to bring it up this morning is that November is sort of a pivotal month for that industry. And the reason for that is Disney are launching their streaming service on the 12th called Disney Plus. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
No.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a game changer because Disney is a powerhouse when it comes to its assets and when it comes to what it can offer us. I mean, like, Disney owns ABC in the States, also owns ESPN, so you get that sporting equivalent, owns Pixar and all of these animations. So I really do think Disney will be a very strong contender in terms of offering content, unlike a Netflix, for example.
Well, you know, that brings me to an interesting point. When you look at Netflix, I mean, what do they have to do to grab your attention? Well, they're constantly having to produce these new hit shows, aren't they?
Mm.
Think, for example, Breaking Bad. But that also means that a lot of the shows they present will be a sort of a hit and miss type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's costing them a fortune. I mean, these guys are spending around $18 billion a year in producing new content.
Yeah. Jeez.
A year. Now, what happens when that slows down? Well, of course, they risk losing subscribers.
Mm.
So from a corporate perspective, they're actually burning $3.5 billion in cash burn. And what that means is $3.5 billion more cash is leaving, going out the door every year versus coming in, which means they have to raise it from the market. So it's not a sustainable situation for Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What sort of lifeline do you think...
Well, it all depends on how much money investors are willing to throw at the company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always uncertain because at any point in time, investors might say, hey, you know what? You guys have got too much debt on your balance sheet and we're not giving you any more money. And that would present a catastrophic scenario for Netflix.
Yeah.
Contrast that with Disney, who have an incredible library of content that they've built up over multiple decades.
Mm.
And they can kind of recycle that stuff, can't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, our parents probably watched Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
We watched Beauty and the Beast. And our grandkids will probably watch Beauty and the Beast. So it's a very powerful portfolio of content that they can kind of continue to rehash.
Right.
And that presents a very different economic equation for Disney.
Yeah, it's very diverse, and also Disney caters for the whole family. You know, there's right. something for everyone. And I think, you know, in a lot of these cases, we've discussed as well on the show, the likes of DSTV still have a lot of people in terms of subscribers simply because of news and sport. You know, you can't get that on like a Netflix or any other on-demand service. And so if Disney really works well at taking all of those boxes, I think, shucks, go for gold, yeah, Disney.
Looking at this article, Netflix is sitting on a global total of 160 million subscribers.
It's a big number.
Disney executives sure. project between 60 million and 90 million global subscribers by 2024. So it seems like it'll still be a while for them to catch up, but that it's inevitable.
I think they're being conservative.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they're going to reach that number a little sooner than everyone expects. And you know, you have to look at the value proposition. So depending on which package you subscribe for on Netflix, you're either paying $9, $12, or $14 a month. But it looks like Disney are going to come in at around $7 a month at the bottom end.
That's right.
That's for Disney Plus alone. But if you throw in Hulu, which they now own 2/3 of, and ESPN.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and ESPN, of course. You're going to get all three streaming services for just $12.99 a month. So it's an incredible value proposition. And I think people are going to go wild for it. So difficult times for Netflix, I think, on the competition front.
Yeah, I wonder what Disney and also the likes of Amazon Prime are going to do as well when it comes to that shared, exactly what I mentioned with the DSTV thing, that shared account. Because Netflix, you have the option of having multiple profiles on there and you can sign in. So I wonder what they're going to do around that. What are your thoughts on Amazon Prime Video?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Amazon. So whereas Disney and Netflix have kind of tried to make a business out of this, Amazon have taken a rather interesting angle, and they've said, well, if you're a Prime subscriber, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with what Prime means these days, but basically it's like an all-access pass to everything Amazon, right? So for $12.99 a month, you essentially get free two-day delivery on all your purchases in the States. There are a couple of other things thrown in as well. I think you get Amazon Music, but you also get Amazon Prime Video, which is Amazon's equivalent of Netflix or Disney. So they're really looking to add this whole service in as a value add to their normal Prime subscription, rather than offering it as a separate product.
Package, yeah. Wow.
So that, I think, is an incredible value proposition. But their sort of main goal, of course, is to dominate global retail.
Right.
Which they seem to be doing quite successfully. So that's another risk to Disney and Netflix. Amazon are looking at this thing saying, you know what, we're not looking to make, well, they might be looking to make money out of it, but it's not a primary business for them. It's really just another way to attract people to the Amazon global ecosystem. And the one thing about Amazon that I would point out is that that company has a market capitalization. In other words, if you take all of their shares and you add them up together, the company's worth $900 billion. Now, I'm not really sure how much money that is. It's difficult to kind of imagine.
Yeah.
But it's a shitload, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's at least four times the size of Disney and eight times the size of Netflix. So what they've got is a balance sheet, a cash pile, like the other two could only imagine.
So when it comes to bankability and when it comes to looking at stocks, you would skew towards an Amazon?
Certainly Amazon. Mm-hmm. Although you need to bear in mind that that's not necessarily a pure play on streaming. You know, really,
what do you mean by that?
Well, it's mostly a global retail business. Mm-hmm. So when you buy a share in Amazon, really what you're buying is a share in global e-commerce, not in a sort of content streaming business. The other one I like is really Disney. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we talk about share prices, and I try not to get too technical because this can become an incredibly boring subject, especially following Afrikaner nationalist porn.
I mean, how can you beat Loslife? Yes.
But you have to compare a share to the profits that the company's earnings, because that's ultimately what determines whether a share is expensive or cheap, right?
Okay.
So if a share is trading at $10 and the company's earning $1 per share, you're paying it 10 times earnings, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So if we apply that metric to Disney and Netflix, in Netflix's case, you're paying 111 times net profits for one share in the company, which is incredibly expensive.
Mm.
So basically what you're paying for is the best case blue sky scenario over the next 10 years for Netflix. Whereas Disney, you're paying just 18 times earnings.
Okay.
So given the two scenarios that I've painted, why on earth would you want to buy Netflix when you can own Disney for almost one or less than 1/5 of the price?
Right. Yeah, these are interesting times, but you've painted more of a clearer picture for me. I think Amazon is stronger in this case. But I wonder how it's all going to manifest and move on. I wonder where innovation and just being more appealing will come from in Netflix's part particularly. Because this, of course, is something that they're aware of. How they're going to worm and move through it, I don't know. They had first move advantage.
Big time, yeah.
They had years in the game of being the cool kid on the block. Well, now you have all of these competitors. I wonder where they'll go from here.
Yeah, look, I think one thing for sure is that consumers are winning right now. So there's never been more new content coming to the market every day.
True.
You know, you're almost spoiled for choice every evening when you switch on Netflix because it feels like there's a new show every day.
Yeah. On a consumer level, I actually wonder what the new behavioral patterns will be. I wonder if we'll get to a point where each of these platforms have such exclusive content that we feel like we need to have each account, or somehow we're going to get to a point where they tailor their bundles or bouquets, for example, where we have a specific sports bouquet from Disney as opposed to a movie or documentary bouquet.
I think you're spot on.
I wonder what's going to happen.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So you're going to end up with a situation where you're going to be able to pick and choose what you want, and you're going to pay variably for that.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. But the other interesting statistic, I guess, is we kind of forget what cable TV packages used to cost us relative to what streaming packages cost us. You know, the average cable TV package in the US costs between $50 and $60 a month. So with Netflix costing $13, Disney costing $13, let's call Amazon Prime $13, you're still only paying $39 a month for all three services.
Which once again benefits us as the consumers hugely at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And from an investor's perspective, the great thing there is it also implies that there's a lot of pricing power inherent in these companies. So these guys could arguably take their prices from $12 or $13 a month up to $20. You know, which would have a massive impact on the profitability of those companies.
Yeah.
But you'd still be willing to pay.
As compared to that $50 or $60 that you're accustomed to paying. Absolutely. And then just quickly, Henry, another day, another Brexit update. I haven't caught up.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tired of talking about Brexit. I wish these Brits would just sort their nonsense out.
I haven't caught up with any of it over the past week. So what is exactly going on now?
Well, I'm not actually really sure what's going on. It looks like a new act was signed over the weekend, which essentially forces Boris Johnson to go and request an extension from the EU, which just kicks the can further down the road. You know,
it just prolongs
everything. Good Lord.
Yeah.
And you know, if there's one thing that the financial markets hate, it's uncertainty.
Mm.
So if the news is good or if the news is bad, it's one thing. But the market hates not knowing what the news is. So just tell us, is it good? Is it bad? And we'll price it in and move on.
Yeah, let's get a decision and then we can act around it.
Exactly. But at this point, we have absolutely no idea.
So what is the state of limbo, for lack of a better term, or this gray area meaning for investors?
Well, what it means for investors is that it could go either way. And if you look at asset prices on the market, so shares that you can buy in whatever type of business or property, they're all over the place. So they're reacting violently. So over the last week, there's some property stocks that are up 35, 40%. But if you look over the last year, those shares are still down, you know, 20 or 30%. So it's been a wild, wild ride. And it'll continue to be that way up until there's more certainty. But look, I mean, if you're looking at, for example, listed property in London, which I think is a great proxy for sort of investor sentiment towards that region in the midst of Brexit, those counters are still trading at like 30 to 40% discount to net asset value. Meaning, if a property is worth 10 rand today on the market, you're paying just 6 rand for that property. So sentiment is poor.
It's still, look, and I'm not the smartest person in the room, but it still just sounds like too much of a gamble right now.
It is a gamble. And as a money manager, you're looking at this and you're saying, well, you know, it looks like there's a lot of money to be made, but you really need to put your neck on the block there. And when I say neck, I'm referring to something else. Because there is downside as well if you get it wrong.
Also ends in a CK.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Leanne, you did not have to be that obvious. Go.
For the slower listeners out there.
Finding porn very funny this morning.
Go into the corner, you lost life.
Think about what I've done.
Yes. So, look, I'm not saying that you have the answer and this is not the golden answer to everything, but what would you advise people to do?
So, I would advise stepping back and waiting for more clarity before making a call. Personally, I do think that UK property, in particular listed UK property, looks attractive. Okay. You know, the UK, regardless of what the statutory status of the company is, physically isn't going to be blown off the face of the earth. Were that the case, then so I would understand.
Power play. Exactly. They'll recover. When it'll recover, we don't know about.
And its neighbor, the EU is still its neighbor. So whatever form the new relationship takes, there will be a relationship. Mm-hmm. The borders will be relatively open and trade will be facilitated. But the caveat is that you might be in for a wild ride. If you put R1 in today, it may go to 70 or 60 cents before it goes to R1.50. And that's kind of my personal take on it.
So just brace yourself.
Brace yourself.
You are going to get yourself into that mix.
Yes.
Okay. It's one way to look at it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Makes you feel a little bit better about what we're dealing with over here, doesn't it?
Mm. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, we'll take Madupi functioning or not functioning. We'll take a whole bunch of stuff, before that, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Henry, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure, guys.
Yeah. Always good to start the week off like this, getting our brains churning and crunching numbers and facts and figures. So thank you for that.
Pleasure, guys.
Awesome. Have a good week.
You too.
And so that was it. The Money Shot with Henry standing in for Anthea this week. And it is just a little after 7 on cliffcentral.com this morning. It's myself, Gugu, and Leanne with you for the next little bit. We have some new stories to cover. I have some stories to share.
New York last week as well.
And then we also want to hear from you. 079-748-2090. Let us know what's on your mind, any news stories you want to discuss, and so much more. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.